We don't want any more surprises within the CBD, of course, and our city management does try very hard and I think has successfully tried to manage to keep us very informed, better than many municipalities, around what's happening in this load shedding crisis. On Tuesday, we chatted to Jeff Jacobs, president of the Cape Chamber of Business and Industry, about the exemption of some areas that from load shedding itself, and the CBD had been identified as one of those. But of course, we continue to receive messages from you highlighting that maybe your area still experiences load shedding and you are in the CBD as well. So either we are mistaken, they're mistaken, you're mistaken, or we need a bit more clarity. And so Kadri Nasip is the Executive Director for Energy in the City of Cape Town and joins me now for some clarity. Good morning, Kadri. Thanks for coming on to Breakfast with Rufilwe.
Hi, good morning, Rufilwe, and good morning to your listeners.
For sure. An unprecedented amount of chatter is coming from our listeners on our site, sort of giving us alternate views around the exemption of the CBD from load shedding. Won't you please set us straight on the matter?
Sure. Rufilwe, look, it's based on certain defining principles. I mean, first of all, there are certain sites that are excluded in terms of an agreement with government. So, for example, Parliament. And this relates, of course, to specifically parliamentary-type events, let's say State of the Nation addresses, budget speeches, etc. But there are also defined areas within the CBD that are exempted from load shedding. Any exemption, by the way, falls out the window once we go past stage six, simply
gotcha.
As a result of the need of the city to be able to shed as much load as required by ESCOM at that particular point in time. So there are areas within Cape Town that are exempted, but it's not as a rule. The reason being that it's largely dependent upon which substations are disconnected at a particular point in time, and that will largely define the area that is exempted. But as a rule, the following areas are exempted. It's parts of the foreshore. It's up to Greenpoint in terms of the stadium. And so, for example, for people worried about the rugby this weekend, please be advised that there will be power supplied to the stadium for the rugby. Most parts of Mooli Point, for example, Rochabay areas, parts of Tambo's Kloof. We're currently looking at the area of Tambo's Kloof that includes the cable car, simply as a result of the increased traffic during the festive season in that area and the impact it's had on tourism as a result of certain interruptions to their service. So it's a matter of defining an area that is conducive to keeping congestion at bay and also preventing any security threats, and this is largely why it's the CBD that's largely excluded from load shedding. But as
right.
I said to you earlier, it could change depending on the load and on the stage of load shedding that we're experiencing.
I mean, I think that's fair. At stage six and above, we're really dealing with critical issues, and so I suppose we all have to jump into this together. So this is quite an extensive area that you just described. How would we explain the people who have experienced within that area, particularly in the heart of the CBD, how do we explain the shortages in electricity that they've faced?
Yes, and I think the High Court, I think, was one of those cases in
yes.
particular. And unfortunately, it lies within part of Tambo's Kloof 2, which is the geographic area that includes the cable car, for example. So we shed as much as we can. Unfortunately, that section of the CBD could not be excluded at a particular point in time. We are redefining the boundaries as I speak right now, with the intention that particularly during the festive season, we try and exclude as much of that area of Tambo's Kloof as we can. But I've given you the geographic area that roughly covers most of that CBD, and that should have been excluded. As I said to you, once we get to stage six, it becomes almost impossible for us to exclude many areas. And we get requests every day for areas that need to be excluded.
Mm.
And I must point out that we do recognize, I think, the critical impact that load shedding is having. For example, AFROX. They produce medicinal oxygen that's obviously used within the healthcare industry. This is vital to the safety and well-being of community members that are currently experiencing ill health and require that oxygen to survive. So these are typical type of activities that we are looking at that need to be sustained. The VNA is currently not excluded because
right.
they should have adequate generators to keep them going, but it's also a tourist hotspot. So we also have to consider the impact that it will have if they're not able to maintain their own generating capacity themselves.
So Kadri, just back to my question though. So I hear you on the High Court, and that seems to be more of a shifting boundary area, but I'm talking about people who say, I live on Queen Victoria Street and I have been load shed. How do we explain that?
As I said to you, it's largely dependent upon the substations. Remember, we shed by substation. So in this particular instance, if we're expected to, stage one is roughly 60 megawatts of load that has to be reduced. We then rotate through the schedule for stage one, and that's relatively easy, and we can do that quite comfortably. In fact, when we had steam bus, we had the option of using steam bus pump storage plant to actually mitigate one of the stages of load shedding. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't even have had to enter into stage one if we had steam bus running. Steam bus will not be running until April of this year because it's out for maintenance. So once you get to stage six and you have no backup in the form of steam bus, inevitably it's going to be that we have to tap into areas that previously might have been excluded, but because of the substation that they're in proximity to, could not be excluded at that particular point in time.
Outside of the load shedding period, for example, you know, the foreseeable future, would there be consideration for some of these growing mushrooming outlying business areas to be excluded, exempt from load shedding at a time?
Well, we are considering it right now. So, okay. I mean, it's not just as a result of these critical cases that I've pointed out. It's also as a result of the festive season and the need to ensure that our tourists, as well as our own ratepayers and tariff payers, are protected and looked after. There's also the consideration that, given the state president's address yesterday, that there's a likelihood that there won't be load shedding until late in January. We remain on high alert, however, and we've actually constituted our own systems and processes in the city to ensure that we are at least vigilant throughout this period, so that we are taking care of our own citizens, despite what the state president has said.
Fantastic. Cool. Thank you so much, Kadri Nasip. I think that clears things up. Kadri is the executive director for energy at the City of Cape Town. Any questions further, guys? Let us know. Now, even though that may be that large parts of the city are going to mostly be exempt unless we go further than stage six, we're still talking about the broader perspective of Eskom. Good morning, Refilwe, says Annette. Regarding Eskom, South Africa has all the resources for solar and wind energy. Apparently, Mr. Mantashe has plans for this on his desk for years to sign off. We would get inward investment, but of course these companies would be private companies and not a government agency, but it would create jobs, which our country needs. Any comment? Lots of comments, Annette. Most of it you'll catch on capetalk.co.za. We just had wind and solar experts and independent power providers on yesterday on our Wednesday panel discussing exactly what you describe. And of course, if you you would have seen yesterday that Mr. Mantashe had actually highlighted that he is going to now roll out the next round in terms of the request for information. And you're right, it has been on his desk. It was announced back in October, but yeah, that was in the paper yesterday.